Holy.
Be Holy is a broadcast ministry of believers dedicated to saving the souls of all men and women.
We teach the words of God that people all over the world may hear the voice of God and obey Him.
God doesn't want to show us His wrath or His anger. He just wants us to repent and be holy.
And after one repents, he or she can be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, but certainly not before they repent. Listen, we really can't even discuss prayer until one repents. Yes, hell is making its way towards the unrepentant heart, but it is Be Holy's commandment and mission to warn everybody, not to control, to warn.
The Word of God is spirit and it's life. That's why we take the Word of God seriously. We're not using shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We're not trying to trick anyone or change the Word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all those who are honest and live by truth, they know the truth, they realize that we are telling the truth.
Listen, friend, we've been preaching and teaching for over 20 plus years, and the Lord Jesus is satisfied with our efforts, and we want to keep it that way.
Next on Be Holy.
In this life, God brings trials against us.
Be Holy.
All right. Listen, we want to welcome everybody back to Be Holy. We're glad that you're with us on today. I have encouraging words for you today. God is the one who brings trials against us, but we can look at somebody else's life and see how God blessed them after the trial. See? So don't get dismayed when God brings a trial to you. When He brings a trial to you, it seems like everything is going wrong. No matter what you do, it's not enough. No matter what you say, it's not enough. Hire the best lawyers if you want. It's still not enough. When God brings those trials against you, don't dismay. Just stay right there and wait to see how God is doing these trials. See what the outcome of the trials are going to be. Because a lot of times, you know, we ask God for things, right? God knows He wants to give us things, or He feels that we deserve something else. And so before He gives us one thing, He'll remove the other thing that will conflict with the blessing that He's going to bring. So He'll take what's bad and move that out the way. But then He will send the blessing without the conflict. See, that's a thing that I've never really thought about it until right now, because it's like, Lord, bless me with the new home. Lord, bless me with the new home. Lord, bless me with the home. But then He'll, you know, I'm not saying this is what He does all the time, but He'll do a thing where the current home catches fire. And then the insurance company pays out. And so you can either take that house and tear it down, or whatever you do, and sell the land or whatever. And then the insurance company's paying the people who bought the land or bought the burned up house they all bought all that. And so now God has made a way for you to get another house or a better house than where you were. Or maybe He'll remove all the bad credit out the way so that you can get another house someplace. I don't know. I don't know how God works. I'm just saying, before He sends the blessing, seems like He removes anything that will conflict with the blessing, or anything that will mess with the blessing. He removes it out of the way. And so we saw that with Job. You know, his whole family was gone. I'm not saying his whole family was a conflict. I'm just saying that would be a conflict according to the blessing that God gave at the end. And we're going to read the blessing that God gave Job at the end. Whew. Yeah, but, you know, the trials and things. Oh, man. From God, it seems like you can't win. It just seems like that, but. Yeah, it's a thing like this. Okay, best way I can explain is this. Let's do a side note. Basically, what are you worried about? There's opportunity in every situation, right? If I say, don't worry about anything, there's opportunity in every situation. Don't worry about anything. Don't know how, matter how bad it is or how good it is. Don't worry about it in any conflict. Don't worry about it, because there's benefits and things like that, right? There's a benefit in that. There's an opportunity in the trial. There's an opportunity in the conflict for you to come out on top. But if you're thinking about the worst, and, oh, this is going to happen to me, that's going to happen to me, this is going to happen to me, Well, you get caught up in what you think is going to happen. You don't really know what's going to happen. You just think these things. You're based on somebody else's life. You said, this is what happened to them and this is what's going to happen to me. No. Just think, in every situation, there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity. An opportunity. Just like when Job lost everything, that was an opportunity for him to start all over. You know, a reset of some sort is an opportunity for him to change something or to reset it. Like, we're going to read here in a minute about what God did at the end of the trial. You know, like once Job prayed for his friends, because his friends were talking about God all the wrong way, and Job was only one talking about God the right way, you know. And so God remembered that and told him, say, hey, he went to Job's friends and said, hey, take these animals and go do a burnt offering. Go to Job and do a burnt offering, and I'll accept his prayers on your behalf. And so that's what they did. And when they did it, everything that Job had was restored. And matter of fact, it was double. It was double. Imagine that. You're praying for one house. God gives you two houses. You get what I'm saying? You're praying for one baby and God gives you quintuplets or twins. This is what happened, man. Let's see. Where is it? We'll start at verse number 10 again, and then we'll go into this blessing, how God blessed Job at the end of the trial, because everybody has trials. You know, everybody says trials and tribulations. That's true. Everybody has those. You know, and they come from the Lord. The Lord is the one who allows the trial. The devil can't do anything. The Lord tells the devil what he can do and how far he can go. The Lord is the one who puts up the hindrance against the devil. He's the one who protects us from the devil with a hedge, as the old folks say. Verse number 10 says this: when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Somebody say twice as much, twice as much, twice as much. Let's see here. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Verse number 11. Then all his brothers and sisters and former friends came and feasted with him at his home. All his brothers, sisters, and former friends came and feasted with him at his home. And they consoled him and comforted him because of all his trials the Lord had brought against him. The Lord had done that. And each of them brought him a gift of money and a gold ring. So all his brothers and sisters and all his former friends bought him some money and a gold ring. Oh, isn't that wonderful? See, I think our friends need to take this verse. And when they console us, bring us some money and bring us some gold. All right. Verse number 12. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. Now that's a lot of money to have all those animals, because you got to be able to feed them all in order to keep them all. And so they're still breeding and everything. And so that's more animals, more animals, more animals, more animals, more food, more food, more food, more money, more money, more money. So that's money that he has now. For now, he has 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 oxen, teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. 13, verse number 13. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. So he gave him 10 kids. Well, when the Lord finishes the trial, that's what happens. He does that thing. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. 14. He named his first daughter Jemiah. The second Keziah, I think that's how you say it. And the third one was Karen Hupulk. I don't even know how to say that. But verse number 15 says, in all the land, no women were as lovely as the daughters of Job. In all the land, he had the best daughters. No women were as lovely as his, as the daughters of Job, and their father put them in his will along with their brothers. I don't know what the culture was. Maybe the girls weren't supposed to be in the will, you know, or they didn't put them in the will in those days. I don't know. But it says here the girls were in the women were in the his daughters were in the will right alongside his sons. So they had a piece of whatever dad had. Whatever dad left them, whatever Job left them, they had a piece of it. And wasn't just going to the boys, it was going to the girls. Seven sons and three daughters. Whew. And their father put them in his will along with their brothers. Verse number 16. Job lived 140 years after that. Man, all the animals, 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys, seven sons, three daughters, and he lived 140 years after that, living to see four generations of his children and grandchildren. All of that after the trial. All of that after the trial. So he was rich before the trial, but he was double rich after the trial. He had double more children. And he lived 140 years after that, living to see four generations of his children and grandchildren. Verse number 17. Then he died. Job died, an old man who had lived a long life. A long, full life. Yep. Then he died, an old man who had lived a long and full life. Yeah, he was, man, God blessed him. After the trial felt bad. It felt like everything was coming down. Felt like everything was coming down. And so God blessed him with more, double, more than what he had before. Wow. He then died, an old man who had lived a long and full life. How many of you actually want to live a long and full life? I know I do. Yeah. Want to live a long and full life. Do what's right. Talk to God, man. Find righteous people who can pray for you. And I think I can listen. You'll live a long, full life. Just ask God to give it to you. He can, you know.
Thanks for listening to Be Holy with your host, Leonardo Butler. Our Be Holy podcast is at Podbean, or contact us at beholy116@gmail.com or 614-268-7757. Thanks for listening to Be Holy with your host, Leonardo Butler.
And for your convenience, you can now text the word GIFT to 614-363-6133. Again, the word GIFT to 614-363-6133. And we thank you for your support.
Be Holy.